message of grace is brought to you by Christian people who believe the Bible to be the Word of God and who appreciate its power and authority. Within the pages of the Bible itself, there is a God-given design for its study. Rightly dividing the Word of Truth is the key to understanding the Bible. We're glad you've joined us for another interesting look into God's infallible book as Richard Jordan, president of Grace School of the Bible, presents another in a series of messages designed to help you understand and enjoy the Bible. Let's join them now.
We're certainly glad you've joined us today. We're going to continue our study in the 8th chapter of the book of Romans. In fact, we've actually finished the chapter. And I want to go back tonight, today, and get one verse in Romans 8 that kind of stands alone. And it's a verse that I can't finish the section in Romans 6, 7, and 8 without at least talking about this one individual verse. And that's Romans chapter 8, verse number 32. Where the Apostle Paul says, "He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things?" That's one of those tremendous verses in the Word of God that sort of clarifies and demonstrates the greatness of God's grace. You know, there are verses in the Bible that become very important to people. Probably the best known verse in all the Word of God is John 3:16. You see it at football games, you know, in baseball games, people put up just the reference, John 3:16. People know what that is. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And that verse is the heart of what the Word of God has to say, that God, the God of the Bible, so loved the world, that's you and me, that He gave His only begotten. That's what love does. It gives, see. God demonstrated what love is. And that's why Paul says in Romans 5:8, "But God commended His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Not when we were good folks, not when we were doing better and trying to make ends meet and trying to appease Him, but when we were in our sinfulness, God demonstrated His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, not seeking Him, but going our own way, doing our own thing, yet He loved us. And Christ died for us. The wages of sin is death. And when Jesus Christ died at Calvary, He didn't have any sin of His own. He was the one who knew no sin, but God made Him sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. And so the verse says, "How shall he that spared not his own son?" In other words, God put Christ at Calvary and didn't spare Him. He poured out His wrath against our sins on the cross of Calvary. How shall he that did that, he that spared not his own son but delivered him up for us all, how would it be possible? How shall he not with him also freely, without a cause, without a charge, give us all things? That verse stands alongside of a verse like Ephesians 1:3. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." It would stand like a verse in Colossians 2:10, "And ye are complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power." You see, the issue in the Christian life and the issue in the Word of God is not what we can do for God and how we can appease God. The God of the Bible is different from every other God or every other religion you'll ever read or meet or hear about. The God of the Bible is not demanding that you give Him something and appease Him and satisfy Him. He wants to give to you His provisions. And He's made the provisions that satisfy Him, and He gives them to us as a free gift. What religion does, and unfortunately when you take Christianity and make a religion out of it, it does it to it too. But what religion does is tell you that you need to perform, you need to gain, you need to do. God says, "I've got a gift that I want to give you, and that gift includes everything I have for you." You know, in the Christian life, you can frustrate God's grace. Paul says, "I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness came by the law, then Christ is dead in vain." The work of Jesus Christ at Calvary would have be of no value. It would have been worthless. It would have been a all for nothing if you, by your work and your effort, could gain the righteousness of God. Folks, if you could earn it, Why did he have to die? Well, see, he didn't have to die if you could earn it. But he had to die because you and I can't earn it. Someone said one time, to go to heaven when you die, you have to be perfect. Well, you and I got a problem. We aren't perfect. You see, that's what the Bible calls sin. Our failure and our the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You can look around you and find somebody around you, you know, at school or on the job or at work or in the mall or wherever in your neighborhood or whatever. You can always look around you and find somebody that you're better than. You ever notice that? Well, I'm better than that guy, and I'm better than that woman, and I'm better than this person, and man, I'm glad I'm not as bad. You can always find somebody you're better than. The problem with that is that if you keep looking, you can always find somebody better than you. You're never the best one in the crowd. You say, I'm not the worst. Yeah, but you're never the best. The Bible says, they that compare themselves among themselves are not wise. Because, see, you and I aren't the standard. God is the standard. The book says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The book says, there's not a just man on the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. Didn't say you don't try to do something good. It says, but you fail along the way. Sins of commission, things that you commit, things that you omit doing that you ought to do. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. None of us measure up to the standard of God's perfection. So he that spared not his own son, but freely delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him freely give us all things? You see, God gives us a gift in his son, a gift that we need, but a gift that includes everything that he has for you. He doesn't simply give you the gift of eternal life and then say, now you've got that, now go work for the rest. He gives you everything, blesses us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, makes us complete, complete. That's a great word. Just sit and think about that. And you are complete in him, that is, in Christ. That's why the verse says what it does and how it magnifies the richness of God's grace. How he that spared not his own son, but freely delivered him up for us all. That's for you and for me. How shall he not with him freely give us all things? You see, God has a provision for you and a provision for me, and that provision is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Here we are. We go through life, and we walk the path of life, and one day the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ enters our life. One day we hear the wonderful message of the wonderful grace of God. God takes the cross and places it into our life. And one day you hear that Christ died for your sins, that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day to be the author of eternal life for you, to give you his life, to take away your sin and give you his life when you trust him. And you look to Calvary and you trust Christ and him alone as your Savior. You come to the place where you agree with God about what his son did at Calvary. You know what faith is? Religion talks about saving faith. Faith really is a non-meritorious sense of perception. The issue in faith isn't how much faith you have, but it's how worthy of what you're trusting is to be trusted. How dependable is the thing that your faith is trusting in? When you believe the same thing about the cross work of Christ that God the Father believes about it, that is, that Jesus died at Calvary to pay for all of your sins. He that spared not his own son, he took our sin, placed it on the body and the soul of his son, and poured out his wrath there. And when you trust Christ and him alone as the one that took your sin debt and paid for your sins, you understand you can't do it. If you could have earned it, he wouldn't have had to die. He'd had to die because you couldn't earn it. He died a death he didn't deserve because you had a debt you couldn't pay. And when you trust, when you understand that and you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you trust him, you rely exclusively on what God did for you in the death and the resurrection of his son, then God Almighty takes you and places you in the living oneness with his son. He places you into Christ. And now when God looks down at you and sees you, he sees you in Christ Jesus. He that spared not his own son, but freely delivered him up for us all, gave him freely as a payment for your sin, how shall he not with him, now you're in Christ, freely give us all things. When God the Father looks down at you today, He doesn't see you out over here in Adam anymore. He sees you no longer in Adam, but now you've been placed into Christ. And in Christ, everything that belongs to Jesus Christ, everything that is His, is yours. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. He gave His Son to be the Savior, your Savior, the salvation for you. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. When you trust Christ, you see, salvation is through Christ. And when you trust Him, He didn't give the church. He didn't give commandments. He didn't give a bunch of rules and regulations and ceremonies and rites and rituals to perform. He didn't give a bunch of commandments for you to keep. He gave His Son. Now, if God thinks that's enough, I figure God's right. Now, when you believe God's right, He puts you in His Son. That's called salvation. And He gives you everlasting. He that spared not His own Son, but freely delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? The moment you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, based upon the identity God gives you in His Son, God gives you and me everything that He has for us. And all those blessings that are ours in heavenly places, all this identity, this new creature that He gives us in Christ, are ours to claim and access by faith. What do we get? Well, for example, He says, God made Him to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. He makes us righteous. That's another way of talking about the holiness of God. The holiness of God, the integrity of Almighty God, is made up of two of His attributes. One is His justice, and the second is His righteousness. The righteousness of God is the standard of His holiness. The justice of God is the enforcer of the standard. Justice enforces the righteous, perfect standard of God's righteousness. When you trust Christ as your Savior, you see, to have fellowship with God, to go to heaven when you die, you have to be perfect. To have eternal life, you have to be perfect. So what does God do? He makes us perfect in His Son. You see, you don't have to try to clean up your life today. You don't have to try to go out and get rid of things. Somebody says, well, you don't understand, preacher, the things I've done, I'm dirty. I've made mistakes. My hands are soiled. My feet are muddy. I've made a mess of my life. God says, look, God knew all about it long before you ever did it. He looked down across the ages of time and knew you before you were born. 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ died. When you see the failure in your life, and you see the sin in your life, and you see the things that make you feel dirty and make you feel like a failure, and that convict you, make you guilty. Those are the things that Christ died for. That's the idea. You don't have to hide those things from God. He knows all about them. Those are the very things that Jesus Christ gave His life at Calvary to pay for, so that He then, having taken them out of the way, can give you God's righteousness. One of the titles that God gives to His people, He calls us holy. You know, people like to quote the verse, without holiness no man can see God, and then like to give you a long list of things that you ought not do, you know. Well, you ought not wear certain kind of clothes, and you ought to wear a certain kind, and you ought not to do this, and you ought not do that. And they have this long list of do's and don'ts, you know, and God forbid you do any of that. Because without hope, you know, when He says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, holy, acceptable unto God. He's not telling you that you need to go out and clean up your lifestyle so that God will accept you. You know how you know that? How clean would you have to be? I mean, if you could work and clean up your life, how much work would you have to do? Well, that's right. You couldn't figure that out, could you? You know what you'd be saying? you'd be saying, just a little more, just a little more, just a little more, just a little more, wouldn't you? Sure, you'd need to be just a little better, a little better. You see, it isn't a matter of trying to go out and clean up your life and get rid of all your failures and then God will accept you. It's God looking, it's understanding that God looks at you just as you are and says, see the failure, see the problem, see the difficulty, see the struggle, see the things that enslave you, see the things that bind you. I know about them, and my son died to pay for everything that's wrong with you and to set you free from the chains of sin and failure that bind you. Set you free from the guilt that hounds you and make you holy. And there's another word, not only holy, but blameless. Now that doesn't say faultless, but it says blameless. In Ephesians chapter number 1, the Apostle Paul, writing to the Ephesians, says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy, there it is, and blameless before him in love. Holy, blameless. You feel guilty? You feel dirty? You feel like you got problems? Hey, folks, you have. Somebody said one time, I was reading about a fellow that was in a preacher that went to visit some people in a mental ward. And the psychiatrist got him aside and he said, you know, the problem with all these people in here is religion. Religion makes all these people feel guilty. And all these people are racked with guilt and shame and they feel dirty and they're all depressed and emotionally distraught because of their guilt. And he said, it's all religion's fault. And the preacher answered him with just a little common sense. He said, well, Doc, have you ever thought maybe they are guilty? See, rather than trying to develop some blame-shifting mechanism to shift the blame onto others, or rather than trying to rename it and say it really isn't something that you have to be guilty about, rather than taking your sin and making it just a badge of honor, get it out of the closet. You know, there are a lot of things that ought to stay in the closet. All these coming outs that people have, and there's a lot of that stuff ought to just stay right where it is in the gutter, right where it belongs. The answer is not wearing it. You know what the answer is? The answer to guilt is to have the payment made. The answer to guilt is to wash away the thing that makes you guilty, to take the blame. When Jesus Christ hung at Calvary, he hung with outstretched arms, literally saying to God the Father, blame me for you. And he died to pay for all the things that are wrong with you, so that he could take your guilt and your shame and your slavery to sin and the things that bind you and the things that press you down and the things that make you feel worthless and rejected and alienated and of no value, and then give you his righteousness, his holiness, his blamelessness. Well, you're not going to be faultless, but blameless and holy. That's a one. You know how you get that? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not, because of Calvary, freely give us all the things that Calvary purchased for us? That's what grace is all about. Did you notice there in Ephesians 1:4 when we read that, that he says, according as he had chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, he's chosen us. Verse 5 says, having predestinated us. Verse 6 says, to the praise of the glory of his grace when he hath made us accepted in the beloved. You know, there's a thing, sin alienates. And there's alienation and loneliness in the world today. I live in a tremendously large metropolitan area, the Chicagoland area, teeming millions of people, and yet doesn't take you long to know that that in the midst of all those people, their walls and their barriers and this alienation. You know what does that? Sin does that. Suspicion, fear, alienation, loneliness. The fear of rejection. You know what he does? He says he made us accepted. You know there's only one person that will ever accept you completely and totally, and it's not your spouse. You know, one of the great problems in marriage is you want your spouse to give you things that they can't give you. Your spouse can never completely and totally and unconditionally accept you. They don't have that capacity within them because they're not perfect. Your spouse could never give you complete, unconditional, total love and acceptance and forgiveness. The only person that can do that is Jesus Christ. You see, when you come to Christ, in Christ you have all of your needs met. He gives you complete, total forgiveness. Verse 7 says, "In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace." You need forgiveness today. You need to have the guilt taken away. You need to have cleansing. You need to be washed inside. The old song says, have you been to Jesus for the cleansing flood? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? You know, that's it. You say, well, how can I be washed in the blood of the Lamb? By faith. It's a spiritual transaction. When you come and you place yourself under the care and the authority, you just pull up under the blanket of God's love and protection and provision made for you at Calvary. And you're cleansed by the Spirit of God through the blood of Jesus Christ that was poured out around Calvary. Forgiveness and cleansing. Being made blameless and holy. To be forgiven. Not just conditionally forgiven. Not just forgiven of some things, but to be total, complete forgiveness of all of your trespasses. To be accepted. To be unconditionally and completely and with all of your warts, with all of your failures, with all of your problems, with all of your successes, with all of your attitudes and all of your actions, just to be accepted for who you are in Christ. Because see, in Christ, God has made you something brand new. He's put you in His Son, and He's given all of these things and much more to you. He says He's chosen us. He's predestinated us. He's given us purpose in life. We have a man in our assembly who's a policeman. Recently, he was called to a home to intervene in a man's attempting suicide. And as he took the man into his patrol car, and then he took him to the hospital after intervening, he's talking to the man on the seat. He's asking, "Why in the world would you want to? You know, you've got a job, you've got a home, you seemingly have life." The man says, "I get up in the morning and I go to work. And I work all day long. I come home in the evening. I eat supper. I watch TV. I sit in the chair, drink a couple of beers, eat some potato chips, and I go to bed. The next morning I get up and I go to work. I work all day long. I come home in the evening. I eat supper. I go watch a little TV and I go to bed. Maybe one evening I'll go out to the movie. Maybe I'll go to a ball game." But he said, "There's got to be more than this." And you know, yeah, there does, doesn't there? Especially when you get burdened down with the cares of life. There's got to be more than, you know, there is. But the only place you'll ever find real meaning and purpose in life is in Christ. Look what He does. He takes all of your needs. You need to be forgiven. You need somebody to unconditionally forgive you. He forgives you in Christ. You need someone to unconditionally accept you and to love you. Unconditional love and acceptance. Unconditional forgiveness. You need those things. You need purpose and meaning in your life. Something to live for. He gives you all of that in Christ. And the wonder of the Christian life is that God gives you all of that in Christ, and then all of your needs are met. Every need you have is met in Christ. Having your needs met in Christ, you are now free from using the relationships in your life to meet your needs. You are free from using your relationships and the thing, your possessions in life, to satisfy yourself. You already have your needs met. Now you're free to go serve other people and help them. Rather than using people, rather than using your spouse. Oh, mister, if you're trying to gain love and acceptance and forgiveness and purpose in life through your spouse, That dear little lady can't do it for you. She'll fail you. Lady, if you're trying to get your identity and purpose in life through your kids, they're going to fail you. And when they do, you're going to be shattered in disappointment. Mister, if you're out, you know, if I just give me enough relationships, and I'll find somebody out there that'll love me and that'll think well of me. You know, that's where a lot of infidelity comes in marriages and in life. All those needs can be met. They are met in Christ. And when your needs are met in Christ, then you're free no longer to have to be a consumer and try to get your needs and get in this panic, this frantic, manic, panic search for happiness. You have peace with God and the peace of God because your needs are met in Christ, and then you're free. Free then to have Christ live not just in you but through you, and for you to go out and serve Him. Now you realize that you're a new creature in Christ. You're His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God before ordained that we should walk in them. You see, when Paul says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, on the basis of all that God's done for you in Christ, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. All he's saying for you to do is just go live day by day as a child of God on the basis of who you really are in Christ. Live your true identity, which you access, you have by faith, you have access into this grace when you stand. That's why we study the Word of God on this program. That's why we dig into it and try to find out what God says so you have a basis upon which your faith can rest. Study with us again next week. Until then, Maranatha.
Thank you, Brother Jordan, for that message from the Word of God. Friends, we have a cassette tape that we'd like you to have that go along with today's study. The tape is entitled, The Gift That Includes All Others. It's yours free of charge. It's our way of saying thanks for listening. We'll be happy to see that you receive your free copy, along with a free subscription to our monthly Bible study, The Grace Journal, if you simply write us here at The Message of Grace. The address should be on your screen. That's The Message of Grace, Box 97, Bloomingdale, Illinois, 60108. If you prefer, you can also call us during regular business hours at area code 708-529-0520. Request tape offer number 309. That's tape offer number 309. The Message of Grace is a ministry of Grace School of the Bible, and we're glad you've been with us today. If our study together has been a help to you, we're happy to put you in touch with a Bible study in this area, where the message of God's wonderful grace is proclaimed from His undivided Word. And friend, if you are still not sure of salvation, that your sins are forgiven, and that you have eternal life as a present possession, let us know. We're happy to send you some gospel literature that will show you the way. The address again is The Message of Grace, Box 97, Bloomingdale, Illinois, 60108. Thanks for being with us today, and God's best until we next time for another Message of Grace.